Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 27. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, Nate, what's going on, guys?
Nothing too much, brothers.
Super creepy.
Super creepy.
I'm super creepy.
Well, this is a mini. I'm a little creepy.
You're what?
Say it's a mini. I'm a little creepy.
You're a little creepy.
Yeah. I always got to take it off.
A little creepy.
We take it off the rails with some music, right?
Yep. Oh, I know. It's always a given for the most part. Well, good. I'm glad you guys are doing all
right. We're in a good mood, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm good.
Hope you creepies are doing well and getting ready for this mini number 27 coming at you. And I'm going to have Mr. Sean get right into it. What are we going to talk about, sir?
We are going to talk about sea creatures and...
I see them.
You see them?
Yeah.
They're creatures. do you want to give credit where credit's due? Well, let's do that. And it is Nate. This is Nate's pick.
It is Nate's pick.
So
that's right.
Thank you. That's right. Sea monsters, sea creatures, are beings from folklore. Or are they folklore? Ooh. Believed to dwell in the sea and often imagined to be of immense size. Marine monsters and creatures can take many forms, including sea dragons, sea serpents, or, I'm going to be careful with this, tentacled beasts. They can be slimy or scaly and are often pictured threatening ships or spouting jets of water. The definition of a quote-unquote monster or creature is subjective. Further, some sea creatures may have been based on scientifically accepted creatures, the giant squid, such as whales and types of giant and colossal squids. There we go. And we start.
Nate?
Yeah?
Why don't you start it off?
All right.
What do you got for us?
Let's start with the Kraken.
Ooh, the Kraken.
That's how you release the Kraken.
one of my favorite movies of all time. The original, 1980.
I like that.
The Titans.
Nate is using his book, and I like that very, very much.
Yeah, he's
got it. Right.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Go ahead now.
This is saying first report of the Kraken is 1180.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
At least that's what the book's saying.
No. Well, it's got to be true. It's in the book. What is he doing over there?
My Kraken is over here trying to bark.
Snarf, snarf.
is he yakking on a bone?
He'll get it up. He'll get it up.
So anyway, Kraken.
Squid-like. Mm-hmm. It's aquatic. So, yeah. It's known to... attack pirate ships and all that fun stuff out in the ocean. What is it? On Pirates of the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
There's a Kraken.
Oh, my
that.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
In one of the movies, yeah.
Clash of the Titans.
Clash of Titans, mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's even so a...
good depictions of them.
Isn't there a...
Aquaman.
Alcohol, too.
Aquaman. You remember Aquaman?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Oh,
I never seen that.
You haven't seen Aquaman? Oh, it's fantastic.
No, I have not.
Aquaman has some of the coolest underground fight scenes. Underground, what am I saying? Underwater fight scenes, and they're so cool. And this is a little bit of a spoiler with Aquaman, but all the sea creatures and the Kraken and all this stuff are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Aquaman has gotten his power, right? He's got his trident, and... the female character that is his love interest, right? She comes up and he has like this plan in place, right? And she kisses him. They do this 360 like around him. And then he's like, he loses his train of thought, you know, just from that one kiss. Like,
gotcha.
Like, what's the plan? I don't know anymore. I was just so focused on that kiss. It's so funny. I love that scene. But anyway, go check out Aquaman.
Okay.
It's got the Kraken.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, yeah, it says, if the ship was able to evade the creature, the Kraken would swim in circles around the boat, creating such a powerful wake, the craft would be reduced to splinters. The Kraken would then feed on the sailors fleeing the debris.
Ooh.
Oh, that's wild. they say, it says, that's the thing with sailing. You know, there were so many dangers on this open sea, right? You know, you didn't, you could be attacked. You could be, you know, all kind of, you didn't know whether you were ever going to come home. You know, navigation, obviously they got that figured out, but it took people to figure that kind of stuff out. It says, when you're cut off from land, home, and family by a vast horizon of uncharted waters with very limited provisions, even the smallest problem could become life or death. Sailors could defend themselves against other ships, spot storms from miles away, and navigate past the doldrums. But one thing a sailor was never quite sure of was what would be lurking beneath the surface of the water.
Ooh.
I thought that was really cool.
I like it. Yeah, the Kraken's been a popular one. I like that one.
And then... people say like a modern version of it would be the giant squid, but it says that has no real muscle power in its tentacles, so it's unlikely it could do harm to a ship or even a rowboat. The biggest known example is huge, almost 60 feet long, but far from the size of even the smallest known islands, because they... back in the day, referencing the islands, you know, ship captains and stuff would see an island out in the ocean, and it was actually the Kraken out there.
Yeah.
And as it approached and got close, then it would start grabbing the ship with its tentacles and start drawing it down into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And if the sailors were to jump, trying to evade being eaten... it pulled the ship down with such force it drew them underwater and they just drowned.
Oh.
They couldn't escape the suction and the, I don't know what you'd say, tidal wave going down into the deep.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's the one that scares me, I think, the most. But there is a Japanese one that is Umbozu, which is called the Sea Priest, and it is a paranormal phenomenon, or I'm going to mess this up, yokai from Japanese folklore. Other names include Onbosi, or she, and Omin Yudo, again, sea priest. Little is known of the origin of the Umbozu, but it is a sea spirit, and as such, has multiple sightings throughout Japan. Normally, Umbozu appears to sailors on calm seas, which quickly turn tumultuous. It either breaks the ship on emergence or demands a bucket or barrel from the sailors and proceeds to drown them. The only safe way to escape an Umbozu is to give it a bottomless barrel and sail away while it is confused. And they say, they look like this little shadow figure, bald-headed shadow figure, and they say that they're supposed to be priest spirits, and they're that's why they look bald, but they're drowned priest spirits. Ooh. So
that's creepy.
Super-duper scary.
Wow.
I guess so. It's a shadow figure, creepy sea
creature.
Never heard of one of those.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
What's the name of it again?
Sorry
to make you say
There's three different... No, it's okay.
What was the...
I don't know if I said it right any of those times, but Umi Bozu. Umi Ohoshi or Umi Munyodo.
So how about we call
the
Umi?
The Japanese
will
be like,
Umi.
Turn these guys off.
That's funny.
Umi Bozu.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to mention my first one here is in, northeastern Ohio and, in Michigan. The name of this lake monster of the Great Lakes is called Bessie, or also known as South Bay Bessie, or simply the Lake Erie Monster. The first sighting, recorded occurred in 1817. And more sightings have occurred intermittently and in greater frequency in the last three decades. Bessie is reported to be snake-like, and length is 30 to 40 feet, and at least a foot in diameter, with a grayish color. Here's just a couple of stories here. While shooting at ducks north of Sandusky, Ohio, in 1793, so it's a little bit more than before 1817, the captain of the sloop, Felicity, startled a large creature, snake-like, described as more than a rod, which was 16 and a half feet in length. Then in July 1817, the crew of a schooner reported a 30 to 40 foot long serpent, dark in color, and then it said later that year, another boat crew spotted a similar animal, this time copper-colored, and 60 feet in length. This time they shot at it with muskets, which had no visible effect. And then it said a third sighting was same year, 1817. This took place near Toledo when French settlers, two brothers named Dussault, encountered a huge monster on the beach, writhing in what they took to be its death throes. The brothers described it between 20 to 30 feet in length and shaped like a large sturgeon, except that it had arms. It panicked the brothers, and they fled the scene, and when they returned later, the creature had disappeared, presumably carried off by waves after its death. All that was left was its presence were marks on the beach and a number of silver scales about the size of silver dollars.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. And then it says Crystal Beach near Fort Erie was the scene of another sighting on May 5th. This was 1896. This time there were four eyewitnesses who watched for 45 minutes as a 30-foot creature with a dog-shaped head and pointy tail churned up the water as it swam about until finally disappearing before nightfall.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
Bessie, or the South Bay Bessie, or the Lake Erie Monster.
That
there you go.
Creepy.
Hmm. Never heard of that one.
There is a, I don't know, talking about some of these, and the pronunciations are hard at best. The Cthulhu, it's C-T-H-U-L-H-U, so Cthulhu,
okay,
is a fictional cosmic entity created by writer H.P. Lovecraft, which we've mentioned him on this podcast many times. It was first introduced into short story, The Call of Cthulhu, published by the American pulp magazine Weird Tales in 1928, considered a great old one within the pantheon of Lovecraftian cosmic entities, this creature has since been featured in numerous popular culture references. Lovecraft depicts it as a gigantic entity worshipped by cultists in a shape like a green octopus, dragon, and a caricature of human form. Its name was given to the Lovecraft-inspired universe, the Cthulhu mythos, where it exists with its fellow entities. What I liked about this is that it says, you know, in this, I know it's folklore, but they say, you know, where he got this idea from actual, you know, creatures that have been talked about, and it is millions of years old, and it is considered one of the great ancients. I kind of like that a lot.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. What do you got, Nate?
Oh, let's talk about the Megalodon.
Oh, please. The Meg.
Oh, yeah.
I still haven't seen the movie. My kids have. And
it's a good movie.
Oh, I pretty didn't good. Like it very well. Or much. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Or it might have been Olivia. Never mind.
So, yeah. My book is saying first rediscovered in 2013. I didn't know that was...
No kidding.
That early. Or, you know.
That late, yeah.
Says that the 60-foot-long megalodon did exist, is not in question. The behemoth shark did swim Earth's ancient oceans until 2.6 million years ago when it went extinct. But with less than 20% of the ocean fully explored, speculation continues. Could the prehistoric giant still be alive? And that's what fascinates me.
Yeah.
About the Megalodon.
Right.
Could it be deep in the trenches in various points of the oceans? Who knows?
Yeah. Cause
I think that's what's interesting about the Megalodon is like, it could certainly, you know, existed, but it also could still exist in an area that we don't know about, right?
And, you know, I mean, Discovery Channel, they always, Shark Week, and they always episodes on trying to prove the Megalodon still alive.
Yep.
They're fun shows.
Yeah.
Get you thinking, get you sort of scared to go in the ocean.
Yeah.
Would you want to get one of those on your line?
I don't think there'd be any chance.
No.
No.
Yeah. Your boat go for a ride.
No, I don't think I want a Megalodon.
No.
I think it's going to really matter. I think it's just eat the line. I think it's possible that still could exist.
I do too,
or
honestly,
something close to it.
That close to
be
it,
considered
yeah.
A, yeah, bigger than just a regular, you know, normal whale.
I mean, the ocean can sustain bigger fish. You got like the blue whales and all that.
Look at the basking shark and the what's the other one that they're? I mean, they're 30, 40
the whale shark.
Whale shark, yep.
Yeah.
But they just eat
which
the
plankton. I mean, yeah, they're plankton eating, but. Not to call the blue whale a fish. I mean, they're mammals. They breathe oxygen, but
water out of
the
air.
But yeah. They swim in the water. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, like we know that they yeah. exist. We have prehistoric teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows us the size that they could have been, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, they're very scary.
I like it. Anything else on the megalodon?
Don't want to meet one.
Well, I mean,
no time for
we still have big sharks today.
Yeah,
I mean, we do have the great white, which gets very big. Not as big as a megalodon, but
yeah, right.
I mean, stranger things have happened. I mean, you have these huge great whites. Who's to say there's not a bigger one out there mm-hmm. somewhere?
Sure. No, I agree.
It's like that whole like cartoon where a bigger fish eats a little fish. It eats a little fish, but there's always a bigger fish.
Yeah, always a bigger fish eating
that other fish that seemed the bigger, you know. But so it's like, yeah, no kidding. When does that ever stop? Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
I've got
a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother subject.
That's another mini. I've got one called the Devil's Lake Monster. Now, you can't beat that right off the bat. Devil's Lake.
The name, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Baraboo. You don't, and it says, you don't earn the name Devil's Lake for no reason. Originally, the lake was referred to as, why did I pick this? Medewakan or Bad Spirit
like
Lake by the local Nakota Sioux for its deep, cold, and salt-infested waters. Native Americans would send out scouts and warriors onto the lake for hunting trips, only to hear screams with other tribesmen telling how they saw the hunters dragged underneath into the brackish waters by an octopus by octopus-like tentacles. Other sightings by the Nakota reported huge Loch Ness-like fish monster in the lake as well. Festivals quickly became an annual tradition to appease these giant monsters and continue to be held to this current day.
I heard Loch Ness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Loch Ness Lake.
Mm-hmm.
The Baraboo in Devil's Lake. Yeah. So just a little quick one there. Yeah.
That's a good name.
Creepy.
Too.
Yeah. And how'd you like to be the one that's, I got to go out and do the fishing and then I'm killed?
Yeah. Right.
Like, what do I have to do?
I don't want to be that one. Yeah.
No. Yeah. What you got, Sean?
One of my favorite mythical creatures is the Hydra. And of course, they are known as the Lernian. See, I know this is going to be easy to say, but for short, the Hydra. So, the Hydra or the Lerna, more often known simply as the Hydra, is a serpentine water monster in Greek and Roman mythology. Its lair was the Lake of Lerna in the Argolid, which was also a site of the myth of Danaus. Lerna was reputed to be an entrance to the underworld. Mm. And archaeology has established it as a sacred site older than Mycenaean Argos. In the canonical Hydra myth, the monster was killed by Hercules as the second of his 12 labors. The interesting thing about the Hydra is that the old story is if you cut off one head, that two grow back. And this one thing I didn't know when I was looking at this is that the middle snake head or serpent head is supposed to be immortal. I didn't know that. Like, did you know that?
Uh-uh.
No, I didn't know that either. I was like, oh, you learned something.
So originally, has two or three? It's supposed to have
three.
Three, okay.
I believe is what it starts with. But I don't know. Some of these pictures, like this one looks like it's got more than three heads. But So I don't know. But I think it's supposed to be three. And according to the Hesiod, the Hydra was the offspring of Typhon and Insidna. It has poisonous breath and blood, so virulent that even its scent was deadly. The Hydra possessed many heads, the exact number of which varies according to the source. There you go. Later versions of the Hydra story add a regeneration feature to the monster. For every head chopped off, the Hydra would regrow two heads. Hercules required the assistance of his nephew, Iolaus, to cut off all of the monster's heads and burn the neck using sword and fire. So they figured out how to get around all that.
Well, Cousin Eddie would say, save the neck for me.
Exactly, right? Sorry. We've got a lot of those references. It's like we're still, we still got a lot of Christmas in us.
I do. I really, I'm glad Christmas is over, but I still love that movie. Okay.
That means we can start talking about Halloween again, right? Now that Christmas is over?
We're getting closer. No. Yeah. So, no, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
About the Hydra.
I am
done. I've always liked that creature as a kid. I think that's a cool one.
Mm-hmm.
Nate,
and then we have the ever so famous Loch Ness monster.
I was going to say, who's going to bring that one up?
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, you haven't?
Nessie.
Nessie. Nessie.
So, yeah, that's been around forever.
So what have we got about old Nessie?
Well, she's been known for a long time.
She's a she.
Yeah, they claim it's a female. Members of the Pictish tribe were among the first to inhabit the land known as Scotland. They may also have been the first to document the Loch Ness Monster. Dozens of stone reliefs carved in the 6th century are scattered across the countryside near the lake. Every animal carved is readily recognizable, all but one, known as the Pictish Beast. Hmm. Some believe the Pictish Beast is the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, there's been, pictures, photographs of said Nessie.
That famous one.
The famous one.
It's kind of like the Bigfoot picture. Everybody's seen that or that video.
It's an elephant's trunk. It's this. Yeah. It's that.
So it sure looks like a serpent.
Oh, yeah. And I've watched documentaries where they've sonared the entire floor, of the lake trying to find Nessie.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's another photograph underwater. They believe they got one of the fins.
Fins, right. I've seen that.
It always eludes everyone.
When was the first sighting?
I thought I saw that in here.
But man, I remember as a kid seeing famous picture, and I'm like, it's got to be real.
We had in our my aunt and uncle had a pool, and when at night we would swim, and to us it seemed like a huge pool. We were little kids,
sure.
And so the light that he had at one end, if you put on goggles and you look down at the light, it looked like two eyes.
Oh.
And he used to always tell us that was the Loch Ness Monster staring back at us. And we used to, it was almost like, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
Right.
We would almost like challenge each other, like, how long can you stare at that without like freaking out? Because we would just, that's all we'd see is this like creature coming at us. And it was just, a trick of the light, gotcha. Basically. But it was fun. It was fun.
Well, yeah. Did you find it? Because I found
It says reliable witnesses was Dr. R.K. Wilson. As the road on the north shore of the lake was being constructed in 1933, drilling and explosives were required to carve out the rock. Perhaps the Loch Ness Monster was disturbed by the commotion enough to resurface. Dr. Wilson captured one of the most famous Nessie photographs ever recorded. When it did.
Nice. Yeah, I saw that in 1933.
Yep. So 1933.
Before my dad was born.
It was not that long ago.
Yeah, 88 years. Yeah, it really wasn't. Yeah,
and then they have...
In the scheme of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have the Loch Ness Investigation Bureau. They spent 10 years conducting an observational survey in the 1960s and 1970s. Collecting well-documented evidence was the only way to confirm that something remarkable lived in the waters. An average of 20 sightings a year inspired a new way to search a submarine. One photograph of what appears to be an aquatic flipper was produced, but no conclusive evidence has been found.
Interesting.
Cool.
See, they say there's all, this gets a little off into more conspiracy, but they make up these stories about sea monsters so that the government can hide their underground and underwater sea bases,
Yes.
So Loch Ness is just a cover. No, I don't know. I don't quite believe that, but that's fantastical, right?
I don't believe you.
I don't believe me either.
So I've got one. I'm picking all these weird ones.
I like weird ones.
The Vodanoi. I don't know why I'm picking them ones I can't pronounce.
It's
Vodanoi. The Vodanoi? Vodanoi. So of Slavic Europe resembles. Now, this is really funny. It's a real short description or short story, but it's really bizarre. Okay, the Vodanoi, I'll just say that, of Slavic Europe resembles tiny old men with algae-covered hair and beards.
Mm-hmm.
Some accounts give them frog-like features. When they're not loafing on sunken logs and smoking their pipes, they drown human invaders of their watery territories and keep their souls in porcelain cups. But fishermen who place a pinch of tobacco in the water and call out, "Here's your tobacco, Lord Voinoi," may find themselves rewarded with a large catch.
Interesting. That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah. There you go. The Voinoi.
They like their tobacco. They're tobacco-y, right?
They like their tobacco-y.
I keep going back into mythology, so I love a lot of these. The siren.
Oh, the Voinoi is real. I mean, that's not.
Oh, it's real. Well, of course.
Yeah,
it is.
You stay with your mythology.
Right, exactly.
I'm gonna stay with real.
Everything you guys start
real documented. Yeah.
Hey, how do we know that Greek mythology is not real? Right. The siren, which of course we've all heard of the siren.
Oh, yes.
In Greek mythology, is a creature half bird and half woman who lured sailors to destruction by the sweetness of her song. Mm-hmm. According to Homer, there were two sirens on an island in the Western Sea between Aenea and the rocks of Scylla. Later, the number was usually increased to three, and they were located on the west coast of Italy near Naples. They were variously said to be the daughters of the god Sorcis, or of the river god, I know I've got all these fun words too, the god Aeschylus, by one of the muses. Somebody out there is going to be like, dude, you guys got to really go back to school. Mm-hmm. In Homer's Odyssey, Book 12, the Greek hero Odysseus, advised by the sorceress Circe, escaped the danger of their song by stopping the ears of his crew with wax so that they were deaf to the sirens. Odysseus himself wanted to hear their song, but had himself tied to the mast so they would not be able to steer the ship off its course. Mm. Fascinating. And super spooky.
Yep.
They basically look like a devil mermaid.
they're not attractive.
Yeah. No.
They're not good. What you got, Mr. Nate?
I'm trying to find some more. Went through my list.
I like it that you are using your book. That's what I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that the one you got him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The cryptids, yay!
Yeah, it's coming in handy.
Cryptids are real, right? I wanted to definitely mention the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea book. I know that is a book by a classic science fiction adventure novel by French writer Jules Verne. 1871 published in 1872. That book is like, I mean, it's old, but it's still just as creepy as ever, you know. Mm-hmm. But they're undersea adventure and all the different creatures that they come across. I think that's to me. It was, you know, it's like I said, it's written. It was written in a time that's a little bit before a lot of our, you know, before our time. So it seems a little bit old, but the fear of what's, you know, what lies beneath is still there, and that's what makes that book so good. Mm-hmm. But during the year in 1866, I can't talk anymore. Ships of various nationalities sight a mysterious sea monster, which is later suggested might be a gigantic narwhal.
Oh,
ooh. Those are crazy. Just exactly. in themselves.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So that's what I want. True. That's one of the big monsters there. So that is some history there. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
That movie scared me as a kid. Holy cow.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
I think I was 6 or 7 and I had a nightmare right in the middle of the night and screaming my head off in the middle of the room. I remember this. And my mom's like, "What is going on?" Yeah. I don't know if I was supposed to watch it, but I kind of saw enough and, oh man, did me in. Yeah.
It's going to make you not want to go swimming, right?
No. Oh, I do. I was, oh my gosh, I was terrified. Not good. Not good.
One that I wanted to bring up was the Leviathan. Have you guys heard of the Leviathan? Is mm-hmm. a sea serpent noted
it's in the Bible.
It is, yes. Is a sea serpent noted in theology and mythology. It is referenced in several books of the Hebrew Bible, including Psalms, the book of Job, the book of Job, the book of Isaiah, and the book of Amos. It's also mentioned in the book of Enoch. The Leviathan is often an embodiment of chaos and threatening to eat the damned after life. In the end, it is annihilated. Christian theologians identify the Leviathan with the demon of the deadly sin, envy. According to the Ophite diagram, the Leviathan encapsulates the space of the material world. So the name is kind of cool too, and mm-hmm. I can actually say it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
You guys have anything on mermaids?
I figured somebody would eventually bring that up. Again, we're talking about real stuff here, right?
What you got?
Right.
Oh yeah. What I have is mermaid stories are not new. Let me see if I can butcher this name.
Butcher away.
Thessalonike, I believe. The half-sister of Alexander the Great. His name's so much easier.
Yeah.
Was so sad when he died in 323 BC that she threw herself into the sea. Legend says she was transformed into a mermaid. The Greeks celebrated the son of Poseidon, Triton, a merman with a trident, a conch horn, and shoulders adorned with seashells. The Hinduists had another fine word here, Suvannamacha, the golden fish mermaid.
Glad
princess,
you took some of these.
Yeah. Who fell in love with a human. So, yeah, these are all just different accounts of mer-people.
Mer-people?
Mer-people. The stories endure. But could mermaids be real? Captain John Smith allegedly thought so. Author Edward Snow describes the encounter in his book, Incredible Mysteries and Legends of the Sea. While at sea, Snow writes, Smith saw a mermaid swimming about with all possible grace, endowed with large eyes, a petite nose, oversized ears, and long green hair that imparted to her an original character that was by no means unattractive. The mermaid enchanted the captain, who felt the first effects of love. Imagine his surprise when his love revealed her fishy secret.
Sounds fishy.
Very fishy.
Very fishy.
Yeah, there's... Well, back to Pirates of the Caribbean, I believe there's a mermaid scene in that. If I remember correctly.
There is, yeah.
One of them, yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they depict them as... playful, like wanting your attention, and but then really what they want to do is kill you.
do you remember the movie Splash?
Tom Candy
going fishing in the tank.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then that's a classic.
What was the Hook with Robin Williams?
Where
he goes down in the water, and they're a little lovelier looking.
Yes. They are. Yes, this is true.
Kiss all of them. Now, I've got one again from the Great Lakes. Have you ever heard of the... Now, I've heard of this creature in a couple other podcasts. Machu Picchu?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Is one of the most important of several mythological water beings among many indigenous peoples of the northeastern woodlands and Great Lakes region. Particularly among the Anishinaabe? Anishinaabe? I hope I pronounced that right. I apologize if I didn't.
Sounds good.
Machu Picchu... I'm probably not saying that right. Translates into the Great Lynx. It has the head and paws of a giant cat, but is covered in scales and has dagger-like spikes running along its back and tail. Machu Picchu calls Michipicoten Island and Lake Superior.
These all sound like great stabs at these words, by the way.
Yeah. People are going to crack
E for
out.
Effort.
I hope this has been funny for you. It calls its home in Lake Superior.
Pronunciation is everything.
And is a powerful creature in the mythological traditions of some Native American tribes. Okay, now, I'm going to read just one little story here, or they call it encounter. A Jesuit missionary named Claude Dablin told a story about four Ojibwa people.
Easy for you to say.
Embarked on the journey to the home of Machu Picchu to take some copper.
This sounds naughty after a while.
To take some copper back to their home and use it to heat water. The very second they pushed off and backed into the water with their canoe, the eerie voice of the water panther surrounded them. And the water panther came growling after them, vigorously accusing them of stealing the playthings of his children. All four of the people died on the way back to their village, the last one surviving just long enough to tell the tale of what happened in the final moments before he died. Machu Picchu. There you go.
You had me a water panther.
Can we get any of these that
I
like,
don't know. I'm going to
have normal pronunciation.
One of the ones, the last ones I want.
I'm an idiot, so I need all the help.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You are not an All of us are having hard times with our pronunciation, and that's okay. This is not our first podcast that we've had problems with pronunciation.
No, so. It's not. But, man, this is really
pronouncing. I wanted to mention Giganto, and it's an Atlantean beast. And it is, its aliases are Moby Dick or Monstro. It's also, Giganto was also used technically in the Marvel comic series as well. So that's always interesting. The origins are Giganto are uncertain, and several theories have been proposed, which range from the beginning, from them being evolutionary offshoots of a modern day whale, deviant mutants, or even that they were formed from Atlantean sorcery. Ooh. And look at this. Doesn't it look? Why. It looks like Doesn't it look? It looks like a comic book, I know.
Well, yeah.
But
I was gonna say, like, but that's Godzilla, Moby Dick.
Godzilla. Well, Godzilla's another one, right? And Godzilla yeah, made Godzilla's up a, technically, that's a sea
Moby-Zilla.
Creature.
Yeah.
He's land, sea, air, whatever the heck he needs to be as he's flying through it.
Oh, man, yeah. He's got covers it all.
19th century, the first Giganto was seen in the 19th century when it attacked the sailing ship known as the, Pequod. Its captain, Ulysses Bloodstain. That's a real name right
there. I like that.
Battled the creature. The resulting clash was fictionalized into the literary classic Moby Dick.
Okay.
I did not know any of that.
Wow.
Okay. And then, like I said, it was modernized. It's been used. It says, another Giganto was used by the Atlanteans as the biological equivalent of the Doomsday weapon. It normally stayed in hibernation in a cave somewhere on the ocean floor until awakened when summoned by the horn of Proteus. This sounds like those stasis giants, by the way. Once summoned, Giganto could be directed to attack and destroy any region. In the modern age, Namor summoned the first Atlantean Giganto to attack the surface world after finding an Atlantean outpost. This is all getting into comic books. And then it was devastated by atomic weapons.
Okay.
We could get really deep into some comic book lore if we're going to go into Atlantean stuff. It gets into Aquaman and all that.
We will not.
No, I'm kidding. I know. Namor is fun, though. So anyway.
There you go.
I had to bring some comic book stuff into it.
So. Yeah. No. Just give me a hard time. Yeah, there you go. Some water monster sea creatures for many.
There are so many. And then find more and tell us all about them because there are
if you can pronounce them.
If you can, yeah.
Good luck.
Pronouncing is the hardest thing to do sometimes.
How many times do we say, okay, if that's how you say it, I apologize for not. Yeah, those were hard.
We just apologize in general.
Anyway, yeah, we apologize. So, Nate, what do you think, man?
I'm drowning with all these words. I think it's a wrap.
Amen. I hear you. I need
Amen, help. Brothers.
So, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to Middle Age Mini number 27. I hope you enjoyed that. And, we'll see you next time.
Glug, glug, glug.
Help me, I'm drowning.